Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's something on your mind, a Bible question you'd like to pose, we'd love to hear about it right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's good to have you back with us.
Well, thank
you. You had a few days off, and sounds like you had a great time.
Had a great time. Really did. I got to go to the rodeo in Fort Worth, and hey, you can't beat that.
I guess not. Did you wear your big cowboy hat?
Well,
look like a real Texan?
I eschewed the hat.
Okay.
I wore the boots, but not the hat.
There you go. There you go. Well, this is Basic Gospel, and we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Today I'm going to ask a question, and I posted this on our Facebook page, and if you would like to add your answer to the many that have already answered, we would certainly welcome that, and that's facebook.com/basicgospel. You can go there and answer this question, but it's a question that a rich young ruler asked of Jesus, and he said this, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I think this is a very appropriate question for us to be asking today. And, you know, eternal life is the pursuit of people. It's the pursuit of science. You look at all the research that is happening in the scientific community today, all the research on the various diseases. Underneath this is this push, this drive, this fascination with finding a solution to death so that we can live forever. And many of the biggest investors in scientific research, that's what's really on their mind. That's why they're giving. They are in pursuit of eternal life. They want to live forever. And, you know, discoverers and explorers came from Europe over to America in hopes to find a fountain of youth so that they could live forever. I mean, this has been a part of the human narrative since day one. We've wanted eternal life. Why? Because God has placed eternity in our hearts. We know that there's something more. And here this young ruler was asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And lots of comments on our Facebook page. And I love all the answers there. You know, believe in the one whom God has sent, receive, be born again. All right answers, but because they go into the narrative of the grace of God, that this salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. There's no other way for us to be saved than God initiating in the person of Jesus Christ and reaching down and saving us. And faith is that conduit in us that makes that happen. So it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus didn't answer that way to this rich young ruler. He said, you know the commandments. And the guy said, yes, I do. And Jesus listed off five commandments. And you scratch your head a little bit and think, well, wait a minute, Jesus, there were 10 commandments. Why do you only list five here? And the five that he lists are these: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and honor your father and mother. And these were the bottom five, basically. And they dealt with how we relate, how we respond, how we treat other human beings. Now, the law could be summed up by these two: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, these were commandments about loving your neighbor. And the rich young ruler said, well, I've kept all of these from my youth. I'm pretty good at this. I've never committed adultery. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't stolen anything. I haven't had false witness, you know, come from my lips. And I've certainly honored my father and my mother. And Jesus said, well, you know, there's one thing that you still lack. And I'm sure the rich young ruler was thinking, uh-oh, what's coming next? And he hits the rich young ruler right where his heart was.
Yes.
And that was with his riches. And Jesus said to him, take all that you have, sell it, and distribute the proceeds to the poor. And the rich young ruler was like, well, I can't do that. That's too much. And the people hearing it posed this question after, you know, following this conversation. They said, well, can anybody be saved? And that was the point that Jesus was making, that there's no way that we can be saved in and of ourselves. There's no way that we can be saved through human effort. There's no way that we can be declared righteous in the sight of God through obedience to the law. There is no way that we can make ourselves alive together with Jesus Christ. That's an impossibility for mankind. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to understand, that there's nothing that we can add to salvation. The only thing that we can do is receive salvation. And that's what he goes on to say. Now, this is impossible for man, but it's not impossible for God. God can save us. And guess what, folks? He is willing to save us. So willing that he sent Jesus to demonstrate his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And not only did Christ die for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, he was buried, which means the old had come to an end, the new was about to take place, and then he was raised back to life on that third day in accordance with the scriptures. So this salvation is about receiving that resurrected life. How do we inherit eternal life? Well, we receive the eternal life of Jesus Christ himself. That's the only life that's eternal. And as we learned in our study through the book of Hebrews, it's not only eternal, it's indestructible.
Yes.
And that's the life we receive when we receive Jesus. So salvation, it's impossible for man. There's no way we can do anything to earn or to inherit. All we can do is receive the gift of God's grace that has been poured out onto us in Jesus. And when we do, we're made alive together with Christ, saved forever. And that's exactly how Jesus does it. He saves us completely, not temporarily, but completely and forever. And so the minute you've received him, you have received eternal life.
Eternal life. That's a good long time, too.
Yes, it is.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love for you to do that. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And as we've noted, this month we reached the end of yet another fiscal year. And friends, there are so many of you that have stood by us month by month, and many of you year by year, to help us come in within striking distance of meeting this budget. But you know, exceeding our budget needs will help to ensure that together we can take this new covenant message to others who need to hear of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and about his life that can become resident within us. So we encourage you to join with us, friends. Click donate at basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 and help us not only reach but go far beyond our fiscal year-ending budget needs. Again, make your gift at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742, and in Canada, donate at basicgospel.net/Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob, and we've had some wonderful, generous gifts thus far in the month of June. Let's keep that momentum going.
Yeah.
I think we have about $120,000 left to raise between now and June 30th, and let's see that come in so that this good news, this gospel message, can keep going forth through these airwaves, through our internet platforms, through Facebook, through YouTube, all the various ways that God has put together to disseminate this good news through the Basic Gospel Ministry. So come join us.
Yeah, just a little over half the month remaining, and as we said, we're within striking distance. And so let's not only strike, let's go beyond.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines right now, and let's go to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and talk with Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon. It's always a blessing to hear you and hear your teaching. and Bob Davis, and Bob George, Bob Christopher, not Bob George. It's a blessing just to see what you have to say, because you get so much into life as to things that's going on in the world today and from a biblical perspective. So I certainly do appreciate that. But from now, sometimes I have a, you know, like a question. And my question is, you know, Isaiah 53:5. And I believe what that was about Jesus' righteousness, but trying to explain that to people where they think that it deals with a physical killing, sometimes it's trying because it's not being explained to people that way. And they have this feeling that, you know, God's supposed to heal them because that's what the Bible says. So I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, Andrew, I mean, in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to be healed totally. So when we're absent from the body, present with the Lord, when Christ returns and there's the great resurrection of the bodies of the saints, we're going to have new bodies. And so we're going to be whole, complete, spirit, soul, and body. But as far as this is concerned with us here and now, it really speaks to the healing of our souls. It's the fact that our souls were in bondage to sin and death, and we were living to follow the ways of this world. We were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. So our souls were sick. Our spirits were dead. We were dead in sin. And so that's what Jesus wants to heal first and foremost. And so when we come to Christ, we're healed. Now, Peter speaks of this in his letter. He takes these very words of the prophet Isaiah, and he gives the proper perspective, the proper meaning to it. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2, he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness." So what was our problem? We were living unto sin. We were controlled by sin. We were mastered by sin. That was our sickness. And so when Christ died, he wanted to free us, to liberate us, to heal us from that old way of life so that we could die to sin and to live to righteousness. And then he says, "By his wounds you have been healed." And here this last verse, verse 25, is really the perspective that we need to have on what the prophet Isaiah meant and what Peter is meaning. And he says this, "For you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." So what is Jesus interested in first and foremost? He is interested in our souls. And that's what Christianity is known for. It is interested in the souls of men. Why? Because there was something deeply wrong that entered into us because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And so Jesus corrects that, then with the promise to give us resurrected bodies where everything is made complete in Christ. So does that mean there's no healing of bodies today, of physical illnesses today? Absolutely not. But there were many people that got healed by Jesus that got their bodies healed. The 10 lepers, for example, only one went back to Jesus, and only to that one did Jesus say, "You have been made whole, you have been made well." The other 10 had their physical illnesses taken care of, but their souls were still sick. So Jesus is interested in your soul. He's interested in my soul. And it's through this shed blood, through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, that our souls, our spirits are made alive, and our souls are healed in a way that we no longer stray from the shepherd we return to the shepherd and begin to trust him with our very lives.
Yeah.
That's the healing we need.
That's the healing we need, and that's basic gospel.
That help, Andrew?
Oh, yes, it does. It must be what I tell people. I said Jesus can heal, but the most important thing he came was to save our souls.
That's exactly right.
We have a tendency sometimes as people to pick out certain verses in the Bible without reading the whole chapter or the whole book in order to get a good understanding. And see, that's what, you run against that because people, they just, well, that's what the words say, but it's not completely what the word says. And God does heal, like you said, but the main thing he came was to heal our souls and our spirits so we have everlasting life.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's amazing to me that a lot of people I know can quote that phrase, but they can't tell me what Isaiah 53 is about. And Isaiah 53 is that chapter that describes what Jesus is going to go through in the future in order to save us. And he did. And now we've been saved when we accept him. So, get stuck on one little phrase and to lose the beauty of the whole passage is such a tragedy.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew, thanks for that great question.
Thank you so
we certainly appreciate
y'all. Y'all have a God bless day. Thank you so much.
All right. Indeed.
Friends, we want to remind you that you can stay connected with Basic Gospel every day through the Basic Gospel app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, we encourage you to do that. Extreme South Florida, let's listen to this call from Gwendolyn.
Hi, Bob. This is Gwendolyn from Key West, Florida. And you were asking tonight about what is bothering me. And I was in a very bad accident. I was pronounced DOA, incubated, and God brought me back to life. I had a broken neck, 5 broken ribs. I had a concussion, a tumor, and a broken bone. And I've been 2 months out of my surgery, and I'm just wondering what gift could God be giving me? Thank you.
Well, Gwendolyn, we certainly hurt for you and what you've been through. I mean, that is quite the ordeal.
Yeah, really.
To be pronounced DOA and then to be revived and to come back. I'm sure you have some incredible stories to tell about what that experience was like. But what is God's gift? And she is calling. Yesterday we talked about the fact that we humans worry. And there's all kinds of things that we worry about. So I asked the question, what's troubling you? What's worrying you today? And so Gwendolyn called in response to that question. And so she's wondering, what is the Lord teaching her in this? And I think the first and foremost for Gwendolyn is just this, just sheer gratefulness for life that that God saved her through this, saved her physical life. And obviously, she can use this opportunity as a witness, as a testimony, as a way to reach out to others and to share the goodness of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. And, a lot of times we wonder, what's God teaching me through this? What is what lesson am I supposed to learn? And I think we just have to sometimes step back and say, well, this is what happened to me. And how am I going to turn to my Savior, turn to the one who loved me and gave himself for me? How am I going to walk by faith in the midst of this? How am I going to trust him to work this together for my good and for the benefit of others? And I think at that point, it becomes somewhat of an adventure. You know the love of Christ. You know the forgiveness of Christ. You know the mercy of Christ. And you can say, hey, I know he's going to use this in a very positive, miraculous way for others. And so you can wake up every day and say, Lord, You saved my life, and it's miraculous in what you did, and now I just want to make myself available to you as that living sacrifice to be used by you in whatever way you deem fit. And I think when you adopt that attitude, I think you're going to see God do some great things in and through this circumstance.
Yeah. Well, Gwen, we hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Thanks for calling. And if you have further questions, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and pose them right here to Basic Gospel. That's good for all of you, and you can do that anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, as this caller did overnight.
Hello. Just wanted to ask a question about the scripture. I don't have a Bible in front of me, but there was this scripture saying that two men will be lying in the same bed together, and one will be left and one will be taken. And I heard homosexuals talk about this. See, two men will be laying in the bed and this and that, twisting it. I don't believe it's about that, but I just wanted to get the clarity about what that means. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for that question. Now, that's in Luke 17, 34.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, a sister passage to Matthew chapter 24. So Jesus is kind of preparing his disciples for what's up ahead.
Yeah.
So Jesus is going to die. He's going to be buried. He's going to be raised back to life. There's going to be many people that follow on his coattail, saying that they're the Messiah, and there's going to be lots of confusion. There's going to be Rome, you know, pressing down on the Jewish nation, and Jesus is kind of preparing them for what's up ahead, and it's not going to be a pretty picture. And he says, if you will follow my words, if you will listen to what I say, you can be protected. Otherwise, you're going to be caught up in all of this mass destruction, and it's not going to end well for you. Mm-hmm. And so he's saying, hey, it's going to be such that, you know, two might be together. One's going to be taken, one's not. And that's some of the difficulty of it. Now, this Luke passage, it says that there will be two in one bed. That's how the ESV, the English Standard Version, renders this. There will be two in one bed. It doesn't say two men. It doesn't say two women. It simply says there will be two. Now, the King James Version inserts the word men, but it's not in the manuscript that the King James Version was translated from, nor is it in any other manuscript. So King James, the translator, simply inserted that. There will be two men. So it's not there. It just says there will be two in one bed. And so that could be just two people. It could be brother and sister. It could be, you know, so it's we don't have to make something out of it that's not, that it's not. So folks trying to support the homosexual agenda using this verse, they're using the King James translation, and when you look underneath it, that word just isn't there. It doesn't say there will be two men in one bed. It just says there will be two in one bed.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate hearing from all of you, our listeners. Regardless of how you contact us, you can do that by phone, as I said, at 844-322-2742, or by email. Just drop your email to bob@basicgospel.net. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/basicgospel. You can also use YouTube. We stream live video each day, and we would like to have you and join us inside the studio. You can do that, again, Facebook page or YouTube channel. Stream that live video every day, and you can take advantage of it anytime, Monday through Friday, or just about any time, as a matter of fact. Friends, want to remind you that as a listener-supported ministry, we ask you to step up and help us keep this new covenant message going on our existing affiliates and online, and to take it to new areas and new listeners. Please join with us as we approach the end of our fiscal year and donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And we thank you for your love and support of the message and for this ministry. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And remember, Canadian listeners, you can donate online at basicgospel.net/Canada. We appreciate your love and your support as well. And as I always say, remember that if you have a question or something you'd like us to discuss here at Basic Gospel, you can post that anytime, 24 hours a day at 844-322-2742. And we would love to hear from you and address your question on Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. For Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow at the same time for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.